Hello, sisters and siblings, you amazing storytellers who either love or know someone who loves or are even curious about Black women and gender expansive people making film, TV, and media that reflect all the beauty and the pain and the joy and the resilience of all of our experiences. Today, we are joined again by another co-host from Black Girls Film Camp. Now, you may have heard her on our episode from the 2023 Essence Film Festival, and she is back with us, and we're so grateful. Welcome, Sanaa Wilkins.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Good. So, Sanaa, tell us about Black Girls Film Camp, and tell us about your experience making your film.
Yeah, so Black Girls Film Camp is an organization. It's a nonprofit that helps Black girls turn their dream into screen. And I had the opportunity of being a part of the first cohort to do it. I feel like it was a great opportunity for me. It opened so many doors for me. I learned so many new techniques. I learned how to network. I just learned how to really carry myself in the film industry. And I feel like it's a great space of support. You have so many people you can lean on for support. And I feel like it's just not a regret at all.
I love it. And tell us about the film that you made.
So the film that I made is called Beauty Mark. It's about me and my scoliosis journey. And it's about how I have a passion for dance. And through that trial and tribulation, I had to stop dance and get surgery. And basically at the end, I come back, I come together, and I pursue my dream of dance again after the surgery.
I love it. And you're applying to festivals now with the film, right? Or you've been in some
festivals? Yes, I am. I've been to some festivals. I have. I've been at the Essence Film Festival. I've had festivals at UNC Charlotte, the All-American Film Festival, the International Film Festival, and plenty more I'm looking forward to.
I love it. Okay, so this is why I'm so glad to have you on and our guest today, because we've got some, you know, we try to mix it up. We have intergenerational, we've got, you know, people who do different roles in film, TV, and media, but I am so excited that the two of you are here with us to bring on this, like, young, energetic perspective. So, Sanaa, will you please introduce our guest for today?
Yes, I am so happy to introduce our new guest on the Sister Brunch podcast. Her first sentence in her bio says so much about her, so let's read it. Ciara Thompson's journey from silence to power as a Black queer writer has made her a rising voice in the fight for intersectional equality. Ciara has helped lead a local North Carolina TV station to the best college station in the nation in 2020. She's also a dedicated mentor guiding young filmmakers through Girls Rock Film Camp. She's not just a filmmaker. She's also has a passion for her physical pursuits like Krav Maga and rugby. Thank you so much for being here, Ciara.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Ciara. I just have to quickly comment. I love it. I was talking to Sanaa before the show, just in the little virtual green room. And Sanaa's like, I'm going to be a neurosurgeon. I'm going to be a dermatologist. I'm going to be a filmmaker. And I have to say, just from the way you've just introduced Ciara, I hope that journalist and host is on that list as well, because that was beautiful. Ciara, we're so glad to have you here. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And our first question we love to explore with our guests is their journey. So you could take it back as far back as like our ancestors in Africa. You get right, like far back as you'd like to. But what brought you to where you are today?
Love. That's that. I mean, I honestly love that question because I'm not too far from where I started at this point. So it's easier to recollect. I took a creative writing class in high school. I had an incredible teacher. His name is Mr. Albright. And in that class, he was like reading one of my short stories or something, which I really enjoyed doing. I loved, as soon as I was writing one of our first assignments, I was like, okay, this is fun. Like just getting to make stuff up, like, and it's, you can't really be right or wrong. Like I never really like was the smartest kid in school, like with math or science or even like English, but like with creative writing, it flowed so easily. And one day he was reading some of my work and he was like, it feels like I'm watching a movie or something. And I was like, huh, I also love TV. And yes. after that, I went down the road of pursuing screenwriting. I started reading scripts and just became pretty self-taught around it. I had no idea like what I was going to do with it, but I was like, I think I need to go in this direction. I was just writing for fun because it was just where my heart was at the time. Mm-hmm. I went to school at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina.
Yes. I want to know how you ended up in North Carolina and Sanaa is in North Carolina.
Awesome. I heard Charlotte and I was like, all right, I'm from born and raised in Durham, North Carolina. Okay. So I grew up there. And then, you know, parents were like, go to an in-state school. We got you. If you go out of state, you know, mm-hmm. you're on your own. Yes. So I was like, let me pick an in-state school. And at the time, like film school was not in my radar. I don't know why, but it was like, didn't feel like an option to me. So I was for sure going to go to a public school and I toured Appalachian State and I was like, I don't know what I want to do. So I might as well be somewhere beautiful while I'm learning and trying to figure it out. And so that's how I landed there in the mountains and getting to go chase waterfalls on the weekends and all of that stuff. And I just got incredibly lucky that App State has an awesome broadcasting and production program.
Nice. Okay.
It completely changed my life. We had awesome classes, but we also had an out of school program called App TV where these students were creating content to sustain the station that ran around the high country. So, you know, getting to be 18 and collaborating with other, you know, young and hungry people who just wanted to create, like we didn't have a lot of like people saying you need to do this or that as far as the TV station went. It was like, you know, BPG and the rest, you know, fill your 15-minute time slot. And so every week.
What a gift.
A total gift. We had the school's equipment. We had like just the creative freedom. I look back and I'm like, we were so lucky to have that, to be able to like the low stakes of just creating and like having to turn around stuff and all of that I learned a lot there. So I was a producer for a web series and then, you know, I became operations manager of this overall station. So I was overseeing all the shows and I learned that I was really good at managing things and people and all of that. So I was still writing on the side, but in school, I dove into producing. I was like, okay, I'm going to be a producer. And I also like realized I love TV. And that's when I was like, okay, Grey's Anatomy, Shonda Rhimes, maybe show running. That's the path I want to go down. So I kept going. I graduated into the pandemic in 2020. So I was kind of like, you know, scared and afraid, like as I would have been if it wasn't the pandemic, but like in the pandemic.
Times 100 because of the pandemic.
Times 100, you know, like I had no experience. You're fresh out of school. Like
the adults in your life had no idea what to tell you because we didn't know.
Like, so,
yeah.
I got lucky. A alumni at my school was working on a reality TV show and she was like, we need some production assistance. And I remember I didn't get it the first time I interviewed and then something happened to that PA. And then I got it the second time I interviewed. And then I was on a roll then. So then I became a production assistant for My Big Fat Fabulous Life on TLC.
Yes.
And that was interesting. That was a very interesting time. You know, you're picking up the trash, you're getting the talent, their hair extensions, and their favorite Starbucks order and all of those things. But it taught me about what's needed on a production. Like you don't think about how like you know, the crew needs their lunch and their lunch order to be correct and on time. And like, there's these certain things.
Like somebody has to do that.
Somebody has to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully you only have to do it two or three times and then you move into the next role and you tell someone else to go do that.
Right. Exactly. And then after you get to do it, you know, you hope people come with some kindness. Like now with my PAs, it's like, you know, they're people. They're not just, you know, the garbage man. You gotta have some respect for people coming up. And so I did that, PA'd on a feature, and then got a job as a commercial producer in Atlanta. So that's how I left North Carolina, landed here, and I've been a commercial producer for the last 2, going on 3 years now. And after
and
I was
working pretty steadily.
Steadily, yeah. So I was working with a company, and they would kind of bring the clients through to our studio. And so, yeah, full time, like had the safety of that, and then getting to practice again, like just produce over and over and over. And it was actually, you know, Finchan, I know you know Robin. So
at the top of this year,
I went to Sundance, and I met Robin. I met a ton of incredible people, and I got so inspired by like the art and the talent. And I was like, at this point, I know how to produce. I need to bring my writing to life. Like it felt like I hit that point where I had made other people
turn your dream to screen.
Exactly.
Yes.
Dream to screen. So that's
come on. What a perfect promo for Black Girls Film Camp. We didn't even know that we would come up with these gems for Black Girls Film Camp. But truly, that I see all of these similarities, right? Is like, to your point, Sierra, having the opportunity to just play. And that's something I love about Black Girls Film Camp, is that they allow these girls to, like, every film they make is from their own head. Nobody's there saying, no, you need to tell this story. They're just there to say, what story do you want to tell? All right, we're gonna help you tell it.
That's incredible. Yeah.
It's
so important. Yeah. Like, especially when you're young, like, yep. And when you're just a creative, you have to get it out. Like, you have to, like, getting it out and making it is like half the whole battle of doing it. And so I think the repetition, like, I think I was surprised at how necessary that was to get me to where I am right now. It's like, do it again. Okay, make it again. Just, you know, over and over. So.
Hi, it's Sanaa Wilkins from Black Girls Film Camp, and you're listening to Sister Brunch. We'll be right back. And during this quick break, if you haven't already, go follow Sister Brunch Podcast on Instagram at Sister Brunch, and go follow Black Girls Film Camp at Black Girls Film Camp.
We are back, and we are so excited to share more of our conversation with writer, filmmaker, and rugby player Sierra Thompson.
I feel like your story really reminds me of, you know, the movie The Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah, I do.
You remind me of her.
Oh my God.
I love that. What part of it, Sanaa? What part of it is giving you those vibes?
When she first got there, you know, she had to be the person who got the coffee, the food, the direct order.
Hilarious.
And then she got promoted, like, more and more.
My way up, yeah.
That's what we do. Hopefully your boss has never been that bad in any of these situations.
Yeah, no.
But they might come, having been in Hollywood for too long now, and I might be there.
You know, so, people like that are in every industry, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and again, like, I've been really lucky to now have made something that is from my heart and a passion of mine. And
talk to us about the thing that you made.
Yeah,
when you said, you know what, I already know how to produce, now I'm gonna write it.
Tell my own story. I luckily, being a writer, I was always writing, so I had a script that in my mind I was like, I need someone to make it. Like, I couldn't fathom that I was gonna make my own script. So I was like, you know, for a while I was like pitching it, I was like talking to people, like seeing if there was some like easy way, almost like looking back, I'm like, okay, maybe there's just someone who's gonna be like, yeah, we'll make your film or we'll make your script. And then, you know, after Sundance, I was like, it's actually true when people say you have to make your own stuff to like get it out there. Like, I was like, oh God, this is really the only way to do it. So I crowdfunded. I used Seed and Spark. Incredible platform. And I put together a team of producers. I talked to my friends, talked to my family, made a budget, and it was ambitious. I tried to raise $15,000, and I needed probably $20,000 to get the quality that I wanted for this. But anyway, all that to say that this was a script. At the time that I wrote it, I was desperately wanting something positive for queer representation. I just, you know, personally, politically, I felt like there was so much negativity out there that I was seeing. And whenever I would watch something gay, I was like, is sad or they're dying or like something, there's some kind of trauma attached to it. And so I wanted to I didn't want to dismiss the trauma. You know, my film Take Note, it's about a queer teacher who watches a couple of students start passing notes to each other. She realizes they have a crush. And then the teacher, by the end of the film, she comes out to her class so that her students then feel comfortable coming out and, you know, being themselves. So nice. I wanted, and, you know, that was important to me because I've had so many people in my life be their authentic self and inspire me to be more of who I am. Mm. And I was like, that feeling is magic in a bottle. That feeling of when you see someone step out and you're like, oh, we can do that. Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. Yes. That I was like, I want to capture that in a film. And so that was Take Note. And that was what I was pitching for a whole half of this year. And I got really lucky that I had an incredible support system down here in Atlanta. So again, like to taking the time to learn how to produce, to build my network. I did all these things before I finally felt the confidence to be like, okay, let me do my own thing. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up winning a grant. So that was also super helpful. The Film Impact Georgia yes. grant. They're great. Yeah. Any like young filmmakers who, or any filmmakers in Georgia, like they're an incredible group and they really work hard to promote diverse stories. So that came through the crowdfunding. People really resonated with the story. And it was then, I think, end of July, we raised the funds and we filmed end of August. And that was, and then I was also directing. I'd never directed.
Yes, right.
So it was just a going from producing to writing, directing was very interesting. And I loved it. It was a fun challenge, yeah, but it was definitely like stepping out of my comfort zone.
So Sierra, amazing. You've made it clear that one of the things that you have in Sanaa is the same way as initiative. Like I think, and I think that's really, but you were like, I was at Sundance. I know I had this attitude, like, I'm not going to Sundance till I have a film in Sundance 20 years later and then I have a film in Sundance. Right. So even when you didn't know how to do everything right. and Sanaa, you applied to Black Girls Film Camp, right? Yeah. Like, taking that initiative, I think, is really important. So kudos to you on that. I also want to ask a question. A lot of our guests have talked about this, and we're talking about this in the industry around trauma, because you talked about, especially for queer stories, right, is like, we've had so much that is just like so heavy around our traumas. Same with Blackness, right? Like, same with the Black experiences. Like, I'm sorry, but I find the white folks love to buy a script about enslavement. And we all needed those early on. Like, we needed to speak the truth of it. But, you know, we're at the point where, like, we don't want to keep telling that story. We want to tell other stories. At the same time, it's the truth. So how do you go about, like, balancing both the, like, realities and the challenges of being a Black queer woman in your storytelling, while at the same time, like, infusing those with joy and resilience and lessons?
I love that question. You know, I think I'll talk about it in the frame of my writing, because that's what I've done the most of. And, like, I probably have to battle that the most when I'm writing, because I'm, you know, every character I write, it's important to me that they're either queer, Black, person of color, a woman identifying, if they're one of my main characters, like those, that's where I'm interested. There's other people telling the other stories. So I try and be like, this is my niche. Mm-hmm. But how to not, so people come with trauma, right? That's kind of how I frame it. So because my character is Black and queer, there's a lot of, I would say, assumed trauma that comes there that I assume as the writer that maybe, you know, non-queer, non-Black writers, maybe they need to write that down, like, more literally. Whereas I think, like, my magic and why, like, diverse storytellers are so important is because I can write a superhero film about a Black queer superhero, and I feel as though the trauma of being Black and queer can self-infuse, because that's truth. That's the authentic truth. And when it's coming from someone who's experienced those things, they're going to naturally leak into a broader story that is maybe taking a different angle than focusing on the trauma specifically of being queer and Black. Mm. So that's how I try to approach it. When I writing Take Note, it was such a delicate line because we're talking about teachers in public school systems who are battling, you know, don't say gay bills here in Georgia, whether they can be out, what parents want, what they want their kids to see, like all of those things are very real issues. And when I wrote the script, I almost at times was like, is this even going to resonate? Like, are teachers actually still dealing with this? And I made sure to go and talk to a lot of queer teachers like that were actually in it to find out, like, this is real. So how do I tackle that trauma, that realness of it, while keeping the film light and I don't want to say inspiring, but like hopeful, right? So like, yes, this is the word.
Hopeful. I feel like that's the word, isn't
it?
Is that even with these truths,
even with those truths,
that there is life after this, and we, you know, and thriving, and in, you know,
exactly. Yeah. And I think you know, there's power in imagining a better world. So there's power in saying, and again, that comes with like the balancing act of like, yes, imagine a world where it doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, da da da. But also, that's not our real world. So where's the middle where we see hope, but we also acknowledge where we've been? And I think Take Note did that beautifully because, you know, you see the kids kind of struggle with being their full selves, but I never show their parents on screen. I never tried to show this bad guy because it felt so implied to me. Like it was so, the fact that they were nervous, the fact that someone didn't know it was okay to be queer, that a kid didn't understand that, that's the trauma. That's all you have to say. And so I think, going back to your question, it's a delicate line. For me, it really matters who the writer is and who is creating the product of it. And I think that's how you reach the middle ground, because that person is going to have more assumptions and natural, authentic things that leak into the project versus someone who's trying to explicitly insert that diversity. I think you can tell.
So Sierra, how did you adjust to making your first film, especially since it's your first time as a director?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm huge into prep, and that's probably my producer brain. So it's like prepare. That was like my safety net. And even though, you know, if you've been on set, you know, everything goes out the window and it doesn't really matter. But like the prep was really important to me. I was talking to my lead actress while I was fundraising. Like we had probably honestly, I told her about the script probably a year before I decided to actually make it. And I was like, I have you in mind for this. I don't know if it's going to happen. As soon as I knew it was going to happen, we started talking about her character. And I think that was another thing that took a lot of pressure off of me as a director, was surrounding myself with really talented people. That's my entire cast, and then that's my crew. So I was able to say, like, Aaliyah, my lead actress, like, this Miss Amato, I wrote her, and now I want to give her to you, and I need you to help me, like, make her more full. And again, to, like, how do you balance that line of, like, what's authentic, what's not? Miss Amato was originally Miss Albright, and Aaliyah Vasquez is a Latina actress. And I was like, I cannot infuse what you can into this character. And so I made that ask to her of like, okay, can you own this in a way that I'm not going to maybe understand, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to, you know, do what I can on the day of set to support you. And so I think for me as a director, I try to act as a support to all the talented people around me. And, you know, directors, I like the saying of like, you're the tastemaker, like you you're supposed to have a lot of opinions, but I also think you're supposed to support all the people who are giving you all those options, right? And you want to surround yourself with people who, even my DP, like who's going to show me an option that I either am like, yes, you nailed it, or like an option that I'm like, I like what you're doing there. This isn't what I was expecting. Let's tweak this, tweak that, and then go from there. Right. So like, I think that's how I approached it, was preparing, surrounding myself with really talented people that I trusted, especially with a project like this. I really was like, I talked to every single person that was going to be on my set. I met with my actresses, especially the kids.
I was going to ask, what was it like working with the kids, and what do you have to
oh
do
my
differently?
Gosh. Oh my gosh, I did not expect the challenges of working.
I know, I'm like, her first film, she worked with young people.
I would not recommend. They were incredible. Like the kids I worked with, incredible. The additional logistical hoops you have to jump through, challenging. So parents on set, the waivers, there was some kind of special person I needed to be on set for the kids' sake or something like that.
Like a and tutor then, or?
But yes, yeah. It was some labor management, something like that.
Okay.
So, and then again, I have 8 hours with the kids. I don't have a 12-hour shoot day. Their schedules look different. So it was logistical challenges with them, but I could not have gotten luckier. They were incredible actors. They took their roles so seriously. Nice. And they were who I imagined. I remember we went through a round of casting and I couldn't find one of my leads. And I was talking to my producer and I was like, please, can we do one more casting call? Please, please. And that's when Isabella Gibbons, our lead Lexi, came in, and she just was everything I better than I could have imagined on the script.
Yes.
So working with kids was hard, but I got, even with as lucky as I got, it was a challenge.
This is Sister Brunch, the podcast by and about Black women and gender expansive people thriving in entertainment and media. Stay tuned for more of our conversation with our review guest, Sierra Thompson. And if you love what you're hearing, leave Sister Brunch a great review and listen on Apple, Spotify, or whenever you get your podcast. So now that you have had like the best of both worlds, both writing and directing, which one do you find more stressful or difficult, rather, and which one would you rather be able to want to continue long term?
So first, to answer shortly, writing is my love. I'm like, have a romantic affair with writing. Like that is like my, you don't have to pay me to write, you know? And then directing is hard. Directing, I think, I say it's hard because one, you have to be there. So you have to be on set. You have to work those hours. You have to, if you're doing it in a way that's impactful, in my opinion, you're part of everything. You don't just leave, budget to the producer. You don't just leave fundraising to the producers. You don't just leave like set deck, da-da-da-da. I think being a director is putting your print on every part of the process, however way you can. And so it was a lot more strenuous for me than writing, which comes super easily to me. Whereas directing, you have to learn how to collaborate with all these different people. So you're collaborating with set deck, you're collaborating with the DP on the shot list. Each different department needs something different from you. And so that's a huge challenge. But all that to say, in order to get my writing made, I've learned I must direct for a little bit. So for me, it's an end to a means, kind of, I would say, is directing.
Until you start winning these awards for directing, and then you'd be like, you know what? I kind of like this.
Right. Maybe, ask me again in like 10 years, and we'll see.
Amazing. What's next for you, Sierra? What do you have a new project that you're working on? And what do you want to do as a writer? Like, your first love was TV, you mentioned. So is that what you want to do? You want to do film? Yeah.
I want to do episodic television. So writing on a network, writing for a streamer, that is the dream, to just be in the writer's room, or to be, head writer, head showrunner of a show I've created. That's my dream. That's my end goal with writing and with getting my writing out there. What was the other part of the question there?
I think that was it. What do you want to do? Was it film or is it film or TV?
Yes, what was next? Generally, I think I'm going to try and make a feature in the next year and a half or so.
Yes.
I wrote it. This was a feature that I wrote in 2020 when I was actually a production assistant. And after doing Take Note, I was like, I think I'm ready for that. I'm just like, okay, what's next? What's the next challenge just after that? And I want to try for a feature, try and get the funding for all of that. And hopefully Take Note's going to do the festival run next year. So all of next year, I'll be hitting the festivals with that film. And so,
You're in post on it now, right?
We are in post. Nice. We're like working, even like music scoring and color and all of that. Like
fun. So it's like fun. A whole new story, right? What do they say? You write you make a movie three times. You make it in pre, you make it in, shooting it, and you make it in post.
And you're working with different people, right? So like the people on set, and now I have my crew in post, and then all of my crew in the festivals, and
Look out for Ciara Thompson, everybody. This is we'll absolutely be watching and supporting, and you'll do crowdfunding again, I'm presuming, for hopefully not, hopefully for your feature. You're gonna do so well with your
I'm take hoping, note maybe get a check or something like that.
I love it.
So we know that you've mentored young filmmakers through Girls Rock Film Camp. And so your experience is perfect for our Sister Brunch question. So you're sitting down to a Sister Brunch with your younger self. What are you both eating? What are you both drinking? And what do you tell her?
I know what we're eating, 100%. We're eating Bojangles Chicken Supreme box with French fries. We're drinking.
Is this a North Carolina thing? Because already this is
Bojangles,
Okay, I'm so sorry. Interrupted the whole menu item. So it's Bojangles. Yes. What is in the box?
Chicken, four chicken tenders, honey mustard, French fries, and a biscuit.
That's what we're eating. Goodness, you too. So now that's it.
Nice buttered up biscuit.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I love it. Okay. Ooh, kind of hungry. I'm vegan, and I'm still, that made me hungry. Okay.
I would tell her to relax. I would tell her, like, everything's, you know, things are going to work out. Like, you're going to do great. Like, that's what I even have to tell myself today, is like, I think when you're creative, when you're young, you can't help but want, like, you want to get your work out there, which means you kind of want an award for it, you kind of want to be recognized, like all these things like come with the act of like creating. I think it's just natural. And I was a super, especially in college and like high school, just when it came to creative stuff, I care so much and so intensely, and I would just tell myself to relax. It's going to work out. You're going to make some good friends along the way. And like, I would just assure myself to have fun. I think when I look back and I have any regrets, it's that, oh, I took that a little too seriously. I could have skipped that meeting. I could have gone actually and hung out with my friends, you know? So I would tell myself, chill, you know, work hard, but also, you're right. When you take a lay down for a nap after school, that's actually okay. Like, keep doing that.
The nap ministry, get the nap ministry affirmations. And I love that. I love that. And we've heard that from our guests. We've heard that from our older guests too. And I'm really glad to hear it from younger guests, right? It's like you already have that understanding. It's all about joy and sleep. And the naps and the rest. Ciara Thompson, thank you so much. I'm so glad to meet you.
Yeah, good to meet you as well.
Yeah. I love how this happened, which is a mutual friend said, you've got to know this filmmaker. And I was like, you know what? We're recording Sister Brunch. You sound like a perfect guest. So we didn't even get to meet. This is our meeting.
I know. But... yeah. And I'd love to like hear more about you too.
Yes.
We got to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll be sending you an invite for that. And for both of you, Sanaa and Ciara, just so you know, like, we are here for you moving forward. Yes. This is, once you're on the Sister Brunch, we are, you know, you are surrounded by a community that wants to support you in your journeys. And so we're honored to have you, both of you. Sanaa, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah,
this took quite
Sanaa.
A while too.
My pleasure.
Thank you both, and have a wonderful rest of your week. And I can't wait to share this with our listeners.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much to our beautiful community of sisters and siblings for sharing your reviews, sending us questions, and engaging with us on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast. You can read the transcript of every episode and find show notes on our website at sisterbrunch.com. If you love to see these beautiful faces of our guests, you can also watch the full video interviews on the Trujillo YouTube channel, youtube.com/Trujillo Media. That's T-R-U-J-U-L-O Media. We deeply appreciate your support by subscribing to our podcast, leaving us a great review, and sharing it with your friends, family, colleagues, community, and on and on and on.
Our show co-creators are Fanton Cox, Anya Adams, Christabel and Sia Boadi, and Brittany Turner.
Sister Brunch is a Women Make Movies production assistance program project.
The land Miss Fanton records this podcast on is the original land of the Tongva and Chumash people. Can't wait to see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.